If you're a new person and I'm part of the team here at Impact Church, I'm going to take a few moments to have a chat to you today about some things that are really important to us and how we do the journey together with God as a community of faith and believers that want to follow Jesus passionately. A few things I want to make you aware of that are in church news to make sure you're up to speed with what's happening in church life. Firstly, next Saturday morning, we have a ladies' breakfast next Saturday morning for all the girls, so make sure you get out of bed early. It's not that early, it's 8:30 a.m. at Logan Village at Green Hollow Log is where it is. Everyone say Green Hollow? Green Hollow Log Cafe. And so, girls, you need to register at the welcome desk today. I got it wrong. I got it right. Doesn't matter. You know. Welcome desk will give you all the information that you need in terms of that today. You need to register there and have a look at the menu and prepay for your breakfast. So if you could organise that today, that'd be great. We don't want any of the girls missing out, so make sure your wife doesn't miss out. Send her along. The girls are just going to have a good time together having breakfast. Then all the blokes are doing it the following weekend on Saturday the 15th, I think it is. Saturday the 15th of March, we're going to be right here at church doing it man style is what we're going to be doing. And that'll be at 8 a.m. in the morning. Cost you $15. And we'll have a great time together with all the boys come Saturday week. Now, it's my great privilege today to introduce to you Pastor David Kim and his wife Mercy. I'm going to ask them to stand, and as they stand, give them a big Impact Church welcome, if you would, please, this morning. Let me just take a moment. Pastor David and his wife Mercy pioneering a church in Logan City, and they've been looking for a place to house their church, and David came and saw us during the week, and something just sparked in us, and Pastor David is pastoring a Burmese church, can you believe that? And so Pastor David and his family will be pioneering a Burmese church out of our facility here. They already have about 10 families that are with them fellowshipping and with their church. I think it's called Chapel Light Chapel. Light Chapel is the name of their church. They'll be meeting in this auditorium on a Sunday evening. So we've got Pastor Paul Kai meeting with his church in the afternoon in the kids area. And then straight after they've left the building, Pastor David and his family will be here also pioneering a church. And I just think it's a good deal. I think it's a good deal. I think it's a good deal that we get to do this as a church, and I want to say thank you to you for your generous hearts and lavish hearts in terms of the kingdom of God. And we just want to see churches of all kinds, of all brands, of all cultures come to our city and open up this city is what we want to see. And so God bless you, Pastor David and Mercy, as you continue the journey of establishing an amazing church. I should let you know that Pastor David and Pastor Paul both are very good friends and involved together. They're both reaching the Burmese community, and I just think it's a wonderful thing that God has brought them both to our house to partner here and out of our building plant their churches and build the kingdom of God. Why don't you give them another big welcome? Nice to have you this morning. They, of course, have a number of their friends and teams sprinkled throughout the congregation today, so make sure you say hello to them. And any other new people, I want to welcome you today, and just relax, be yourself, we're going to be ourselves. And if you are new, make sure you come and catch up in the Connect Lounge straight after the service. As Pastor Darrell said, down to the right-hand side of the hall, we're going to have some coffee, food, and just an opportunity to chat and meet each other and say hello, and that's always a good thought. Well, today we're going to continue, we're going to conclude today our series of thought. So the thought concludes today in terms of what we've been looking at, but the theme of it runs throughout the entire year. We've been talking about our theme, which is moving family forward. Everyone say moving family forward. That's what we're here to do this year, and I'm so excited for 2020 and the opportunity of a new year and the opportunity for us to move our church family forward this year and engage with God in deeper ways, to engage with each other in more meaningful ways also. And it's what we're focusing on as a church team. We're focusing on our levels of engagement right across our church community so that we come into greater levels of community, greater levels of connection, and greater levels of contribution together to move the house of God forward, but not only that, to move our own lives forward. You know, the truth is, there's great power in looking forward. There's great opportunity when we live life with a sense of passion, a sense of enthusiasm, and excitement for the future and believing that the best is yet to come. And that's the posture that we want to adopt as a church. The good old days were good, but they've got nothing on the days that lie ahead and the opportunities that God brings for every one of us. And so today I want to talk about moving life forward by aligning with the plan of God, aligning with the people of God, aligning with the purpose of God. And the key thought today is alignment. Everyone say alignment. Alignment. It's a key word for me. I've been talking to our team about alignment for the last 6 months, and it seems like every time we're together, we're looking at this word and unpacking this thought and what this means for us as a church leadership team. And we did some hard yards in it last year because some things weren't in alignment. Some things were out of alignment. And so just like you've got to get a car in alignment every now and then, we as a team had to bring some things into alignment. So it seems like I've been on this theme for months and months and months and months. And today I want to bring it here for every one of us. You know, when we think of alignment, most of us would think of a car. And maybe your car is a little bit like mine. Every now and then it gets out of alignment. The wheels get out of alignment. They lose balance. They lose their sense of being cohesively working together. And when your car's not in alignment, it's hard to keep it on the road. You know when your car's not in alignment because it's just the steering wheel feels it. The direction that you're trying to go has a certain tug on it, and it kind of pulls to the left or pulls to the right, and you've really got to work hard to drive your car. And your car is not as efficient. It's not as resourceful and effective when everything is not in alignment. And so to get it into alignment, you drive it into like Bob Jane T-Mart down the road or Jack's Tires up the road here. And you know, when you drive in, the expert doesn't need to be told what the problem is. I'm amazed by this skill that mechanical people have, like when an unmechanical person like me drives their vehicle in and I try and explain what the problem is. They don't need my explanation because they can tell it's out of alignment. They can tell it's not in balance. They can tell what the problem is by just hearing the sound of it coming in, particularly when you drive a four-wheel drive like I do, a Nissan Patrol, and you hear the slap of the tires on the road. They're going slap, 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 slap. They know that something is out of order. Not only cars, also bodies. I don't know whether your body's ever been out of alignment, but this week my body was playing up and doing its own thing. It was kind of out of alignment. And it was out of alignment not for a bad reason. It was out of alignment because I'd done a little bit more work than I should have done. And at my tender age, you've got to take care of the body. And I was on a whippersnipper slasher all day doing somebody's yard. And I had to slash the whole yard before I could mow the yard because the lawn was like, you know, this high. And so I was all right while I was doing it, but next day, oh dear me, that inflammation in the lower back, bulging disc, and so I kind of manned up for a day or two, and you know, I did what men do. Men just try and tough it out, and I did that. No painkillers, no therapy, no empathy. There was certainly no compassion in my household in regards to this situation. And then after a couple of days, I thought, you know what, I think I need some help. So I went to see my chiropractor. She was totally unsympathetic when she found out it was self-afflicted. She jumped on me. She knees into me. She's elbows into me. She's crack, crack, crack. And oh, I could feel the body coming into alignment, but it was still a little bit sore. So yesterday or the day before, I went and had a remedial massage. A remedial massage simply means this is going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you, but it's going to be for your good. So here I am today standing tall, standing upright, as opposed to standing like a question mark earlier in the week, because my body is in alignment. You know, when your body's in alignment, you just feel good. When your body's in alignment, there's a certain rhythm. There's a certain pop. There's a certain swag that you have when your body's in alignment. And it's amazing how young and vital and vibrant and alive you feel, as opposed to Monday of this week when I was walking around like this and I was looking for a walker or a walking stick. And it was just so difficult. When you're out of alignment, you know it. And not only do you know it, everybody else knows it. And it's no surprise. The thing is this, we think others don't know it. But it's obvious when you're out of alignment. You know, the truth is, in terms of alignment, when you're not in alignment, it messes with everything. It messes everything when you're out of alignment. The systems of your body, or your car, or whatever it might be, your faith journey, your walk with God, your sense of community and connection with God's people, your alignment with the plan and the purpose of God, when you're not in alignment with that, it messes and affects everything. It creates dysfunction and malfunction. As opposed to when we are in alignment, we are at our best. I'm at my best today. My body is at its maximum today because I've had some minor adjustments that were done to me during the week. And I want to suggest to you, sometimes all it takes is just a little bit of adjustment to get you walking good, to get you looking good, to get you happy, to get your spirit in the right place, to get you aligned with a sense of, I'm good with God, I'm good with these people, and I'm good with his plan, and I'm good with his purpose. You know, when we're aligned with the plan and the purpose of God, there's a sense of peace, there's a sense of purpose on our lives, there's a sense of prosperity that comes towards us. Where's Mercy? Loved your testimony today, love. What a great thought. Give Mercy a big hand. That was amazing, that God story. Good on you. When you're in alignment, we experience courage, confidence, clarity, life flourishes, faith grows, and family moves forward. There is nothing better than being fully aligned. There is nothing better than being in community. There is nothing better than being in connection. There is nothing better than cooperating with the plans and the purposes of God. Living in alignment for us is living engaged. It's living engaged. And this is our real mission emphasis and mission theme for 2020, is to increase our level of engagement so we have a greater level of community, a greater level of connection, and a greater level of contribution as individuals and also as a family. And I realize with all of that, part of the responsibility that I have as a lead pastor here at Impact Church is to help bring some adjustment to things. And you don't adjust things because they're bad. You just adjust them because sometimes they get out of place because they're overworked, or they get out of place because they've just been giving too much, or they've been in one spot for too long, and you need to bring adjustment to bring a greater sense of clarity or courage and investment in every one of us. So every now and then we need a tune-up. Every now and then we need a reset. Every now and then we need something recalibrated so we can function productively, efficiently, and effectively. Every now and then we need our attitude. Look at your neighbor right now. Every now and then we need our attitude slightly adjusted. Every now and then we need our perspective lifted higher. Every now and then we need our mindsets or our beliefs or our limiting beliefs exposed so that we can grow into greater levels of following God in this journey of life. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, we're introduced to a man called Peter for the first time, who would go on and become one of the great followers and great disciples and great writers of Scripture, a passionate disciple of Jesus. Well, we're introduced to him here in Luke chapter 5, and it tells this story of Jesus and Peter meeting. And what's interesting to note is how Peter snapped his life into alignment with the plan and the purpose of God. It says this in verse 1. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. Jesus noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, uninvited by the way. He just stepped into your... Look, Jesus is that kind of God. He's that kind of person. He'd just step into your boat without even asking. It says here, he stepped into the boat, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and he asked him to put out a little further from the shore, and then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. What I want you to notice about this story as we're introduced to Peter is this, is I want you to notice on this day, Peter had no intention of hosting a small group. He had no intention of giving Jesus a platform. He had no intention of letting his boat be used for someone to do their thing in. He was just a fisherman cleaning his nets beside his boat. We don't even know whether he knew Jesus at this point in time. They weren't intimately involved in terms of following Peter following Jesus. Yet Jesus does what Jesus always does. Jesus just came and said, Peter, I want that. Can I use that? Can I have that? Can I have that? And Jesus just stepped into his life and got involved. Peter wasn't even on the team. He hadn't volunteered to host anything or usher anybody, but he brought his life into alignment and let Jesus take the boat and do what Jesus wanted to do. Here's my first thought about alignment today, and it's this. Is alignment never starts with what's convenient or comfortable for us. Alignment with God, we need to understand this. The invitation to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to live effectively and efficiently in life never starts with what's comfortable or convenient for us. Alignment starts with a call to serve. Alignment starts with a call to serve. And a call to serve is a call to surrender. It's a call to surrender. It's a call to lay your life down. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, he must lay his life down. Lay his life down to follow me. So it's not about convenience and it's not about comfort. It's all about a conviction to follow Jesus. It's all about a conviction to live for his cause. It's a call to family. It's a call to provide a platform in your own world and life so that the message of Jesus could be given and heard by other people. It's a call to serve others is what this call is. So alignment is very much being planted in God's house and doing life with God's people. Psalm 92, you know it well, verse 13, says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Notice it said those who are planted. Those who are planted, those who have grounded themselves. Jesus said to be deeply rooted and founded. Paul said it, to be deeply rooted and founded in the heart and the house of God. That's where we want to find ourselves. That's where the real power and secret source of life is. It doesn't say those who attend will flourish. It says those that are planted today. I'm hoping you're planted today. I'm hoping you're not a pot plant today. There's a difference between a pot plant and a plant that is planted. A pot plant's in the garden, but it's not part of the garden. Turn to your neighbor and go, wow. 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 You can have a pot plant garden. The thing about a pot plant garden is you can pick it up any time and take it somewhere else. But when you're planted, you're deeply rooted, you're part of the ecology, you're part of the ecosystem, you're part of what's going on in the whole dynamic of that garden. That's what it's like when you're planted in the house of God and in a local church. You're part of the family, you're contributing to the family, you're communing with the family, you have a sense of connection with the family. You're not like a pot plant that just uproots whenever you want and just go to another garden. You're planted firmly in the house of God. Those that are planted in the house of God and in his courts will flourish. You know, when you're planted in God's house, you're aligned with God's plan, because that is the plan of God. When you're planted in God's house, you are aligned with the plan of God. So if you're a believer today and you don't have a church that you're planted in, I want to invite yourself to plant yourself in this garden. I want to invite yourself to find yourself following God in this garden right here. And I want to invite you to get out of the pot and get in the soil. Because that's where the nourishment is. That's where the real life is. That's where the growth and the development and the sustenance and the nutrients that we need to grow effectively in God is really found. If you're not a believer, I want to invite you to plant yourself in this house here and begin the journey of following Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. Let him get involved in the boat of your life. Let him come to you and lead you and guide you and show you how to live, because you were formed for God's family. I don't know whether you're aware of that today, but you were formed for God's family. And the Bible says you belong in God's house just like every other believer. You belong in God's house. What's interesting to me about this passage in Luke 5 is that Peter had a lot going on that day. It wasn't convenient for him. It wasn't comfortable. He'd worked hard all night. Hard all night. The Bible says he'd fished all night and he caught nothing. Fished all night and caught nothing. Anyone ever done that? It's no fun going fishing when you catch nothing. And when you go fishing and you catch nothing, you don't want to tell anybody. You don't want to talk to anyone. You just want to go home. And here's Peter, professional fisherman. Not a casual fisherman. Not a recreational fisherman. This is what he does for money. He's a professional. So he'd fished all night. When you're a professional, that usually means you're good at it. You're good at it. Like, you know, if you're a professional in your trade and that's your thing, that's your deal, you're good at it. That's why they call you professional. So here's Peter. I'm a professional fisherman. Fished all night, caught nothing. So he's got a bit going on because he's going home to Mrs. Peter without anything. He's going home empty-handed. He's going home thinking, I've just wasted 10 hours of my life. And it looks like in this story that Jesus is overlooking this fact that Peter's done a hard night's work and caught nothing. He's going home with nothing. And it kind of feels like, even to Peter, like, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care about me? All you want's from a boat. You don't care about what's going on in my world. What I want to suggest to you today is this. Is I want to suggest to you that our alignment with God's plan is all about surrender. And that's what God was looking for in Peter. He was looking for a surrendered heart that would surrender in spite of his circumstances, that would surrender in spite of what he had going on that day. You know, the first step of alignment is this, is that we get over the me attitude. The me attitude. The me attitudes, we all have them. And we all fall into that kind of selfish mode every now and then about me. And God wants to take us from me to we. Yeah. From me to we. Well, we don't make it all about me, but we make it about we. And that's what God's family is all about. It's about we. We the family. We the sons and daughters of God. Yeah. We are those that are in community and connection, and we are those that contribute to make the family strong. Alignment means that as a part of God's family, that God asks us to think of others first. He asks us to think of others first. Even when you think he should be focused on us, we make our focus on other people. So alignment is about being planted in the house of God. And the next verse, in verse 4, it says, when he had finished speaking, that's Jesus speaking, when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let your nets down to catch some fish. And he starts to protest. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night. We didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And it says, and this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. You know, now Jesus is done with the teaching. Now he's ready to help Peter. Now Jesus is done with what he wanted to do. He's ready to help Peter and contribute into Peter's world and Peter's life. And so he shifts his focus to Peter's need, which is our second thought. Alignment is keeping arguments and strife out of our life. Arguments and strife, keeping them out of our life. This is key to staying in alignment with anybody, with any group of people, with the church, with your business, with your employees, with your employer, with your family, with your husband, with your wife, with whoever, your friends, your circle. The key of alignment in any of those areas is to keep arguments and strife out of our life. Here Peter starts to have a moment where an argument's starting to build. Where an argument's starting to build when Jesus turns his attention on him and Peter says, Master, we've been out fishing all night. Don't you know who I am? I mean, don't you know what I do? Can't you see the fish on the side of my boat, the little stickers? I'm a professional. We fished all night. And Jesus, by the way, when you catch fish, you fish at night, not in the day. Just saying. Just saying. You don't catch fish in the day here in Galilee. In Galilee, we fish at night for a very good reason, because that's when the fish are out. And we fished all night and we caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll go out deep and I'll let the nets down once more just because you say so. Let me talk to you about arguments for a moment. We all have them. Don't look at your neighbour now, look straight ahead. Particularly if you're sitting next to your wife or your husband. Arguments. We all have arguments. Arguments are part of humanity. They're part of being with people. It doesn't matter who you live with. It doesn't matter who you work with. It doesn't matter what church you go to, what the group is, what the mission is, what the vision is. You're not always going to get along. There will be moments of strife And there will be moments of arguments that present themselves because we're human, because we're different, because we're diverse. We have different likes and dislikes, different opinions, different preferences, different experiences and different expectations. And you can never manage everybody's expectations. I gave up a long time ago trying to manage people's expectations in church. It's like you can't keep everyone happy, so you might as well keep yourself happy. It's just so difficult keeping people happy in any forum, in any sphere, if you want a journey with a sense of longevity. You can keep anyone happy for a little while, but longevity demands the ability to navigate arguments and strife skillfully and intentionally. And in church world, in church life, the longer you hang around in church life, and particularly if you hang around in one church, if you do that, if you stay planted in the house of God that God has planted you in, and you do that intentionally with a sense of longevity, you're going to find yourself surrounded by arguments from time to time. There's all kinds of arguments. There's petty arguments, there's silly arguments. Someone didn't say hello to somebody, or someone missed out on this, or, you know, the pastor didn't do this, or didn't visit me, visited them, and whatever might have happened or didn't happen. There's logical arguments, reasonable and unreasonable arguments. There's theological arguments. There's all kinds of arguments that happen. If we're going to move forward as individuals, and if we're going to move forward as family, and we're going to move forward as a church of God, then we need to watch out for arguments, because arguments distract us. Arguments take away from the mission and the purpose, and they slow momentum down. They consume useful energy, and they take us off course from God's plan. So we've got to watch out for strife, and we've got to watch out for arguments. You don't have time for it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I just don't have time for that. I just don't have time for it. I don't have the energy, the attention to give to arguments and to strife. You know, if we give our time and energy to argument, what happens is the arguments begin to dictate where our attention goes, and we forfeit the momentum that God wants us to have in terms of moving family forward. A lot of times family just does not move forward because of strife and because of argument. And so we've got to deal with strife and deal with argument. If we allow ourselves to stay in our head all the time and want to argue with people, we'll not be able to move forward, because we'll overthink and underact. Overthink and underact. We've got to watch out for it. If you want to live in alignment and continue in alignment with God, you can't live with argument and strife in your spirit. The Bible gives some very clear advice. It says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. You know they produce... Where do quarrels come from? Foolish and stupid arguments. So we've got to let them go, because they hold us back. Nothing good comes from it. They hold people captive. They cause hostility. They destroy family, they destroy relationships, they draw people into conflicts, into debates that go nowhere, and they're not profitable. I have people that want to kind of socially debate me all the time. I'm happy to have conversations with anybody that comes to our church. If you're in this room today, you're part of our church family, I'm happy to talk to you at any time about things that are important in terms of Bible beliefs and theology and all of that, because you're journeying with us, and I'm teaching you, and I think it's important for you to have clarity on that. But I'm not here for the whoever wills on social media that want to have a debate with me. And I constantly get emails from people. And I got one the other day asking if I could explain my theology on salvation and baptism in water and baptism in this and whatever. And I just looked at that email and just said, you know what? I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're from. I don't know what church you go to. I don't know who your pastor is, but go and see your pastor. Go to church. I don't even know whether you go to church, whoever this person is and was. And so I wrote back with my suggestion that I don't have time for a theological debate and a 30-hour argument to prove this or to prove that. It's not that I don't want to. I certainly have skill in that area. That's my background and my training, and my head just goes there naturally. But I just don't have the time. I have unrenewable resources that I'm not prepared to give to that debate. My time and my intention and my energy are unrenewable. Once it's spent, it's spent. And I'm 57 years of age. I'm halfway through my life. 114. I'm halfway through my life, so there's a lot of life left to live. I can't waste the next 57 years arguing about a theology.
Yeah.
That's not going to help anybody. That's not going to change anybody's world. I'm not saying theology is not important. It's very important in the basics. It's very important to understand the lordship of Jesus Christ and how salvation works, and that Jesus is the only way and no one can come to God except through Jesus Christ, God's Son. It's very important to understand theology about baptism in water and the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the church. But beyond that, I have no interest in argument. No interest in deep conversation about it with people I'm not journeying with. I will fight for the basics of theology, but I'm not going to make an argument over it. And so I kind of say to the social world out there that's listening to the sermon today, who cares? Who cares? I don't care about the argument. All I care about is, are they preaching Christ? Are they trying to help people? Are they touching people's worlds and lives? Because what I find about people that argue is people that argue do very little. Because they're just caught up in argument. It's caught up in debate. That's all they like and all they want. And so to remain in alignment with God, we've got to make sure we keep argument and keep strife out of our lives. Thirdly, we've got to, in terms of alignment, alignment is simply congruency. It's lining yourself up between God's word and our actions. And so it's allowing God's word to adjust our lives. And we see that in Peter's world here when Jesus had said to him, he said, Master, Peter said back to Jesus, Master, we've worked hard all night. You know, we've done our job, but we've caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let my nets down again. In other words, what happens here is Peter's allowing God's word to become his autocorrect. How many of you love autocorrect on text messages? It's like, aren't they the bane of life? And you find yourself saying something in a text message you never meant to say, and all of a sudden you've got an argument on your hands because you said a word that you didn't mean to say. Autocorrect. What that means is it suggests what it thinks you want to say, and it puts it in there for you. It changes things. I want to suggest to you today that God's word is like an autocorrect in our life that we should welcome. That we should welcome. It helps us to self-correct. It helps us to auto-correct. It helps us to come into a sense of congruency and agreement and alignment with the way God wants us to be and the way God wants us to live. And that's what Peter does. Peter starts to give his argument, and then he says, but whatever you say, I'll do. Whatever you say, I'll do. You can tell God your complaint, but make sure you land on the point of, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
Land on that point. Not my will. God doesn't mind you saying, hey, God, I've had a hard night. I've worked hard. I've got nothing to prove for it, but I've given my best effort. Make sure you land on the point of, but if you say to go out there and cast my nets out again, at your word, I'm going to do that. You know, alignment, it's simply acting on God's word. God wants you to act on his word today, church. It's about submission. It's about acknowledgement. It's something powerful. Can I suggest there's something powerful when you align yourself with the word of God? Something powerful when you get to that point, not my will, but thy will be done. When what we need in our lives more than anything in our Western culture is to have a sense of congruency with the word of God. Have a sense of truth with the word of God, where we get obedience going and submission going. I'm not saying we need to be perfect, but we allow God's word to bring us back, to snap us into reality, to bring a sense of autocorrect and self-correct, where Peter said, because you say so, I will. And then lastly, alignment is a place of supernatural provision. It's a place of supernatural provision. You heard Mercy share on screen today about how as a new young believer, she started to tithe when her personal circumstances was one of, I've worked hard all night and I've got nothing to show for it, God. And yet you asked me for that. And so out of obedience and submission, she gives that. And God arranges for that supernatural provision to come out of the provision source that she already had. And it had stopped and then it came good and that landed in her account to help her to move forward. And you know, God does supernatural things like that all the time. He does unusual things, even unreasonable things, even unexpected things all the time. In Peter's story, it says in verse 6 that when Peter aligned himself, it says, and this time, when he put the nets down, this time, everyone say this time?
This time.
I don't care how many other times you've done it, this time is the time. And he obeyed God. He surrendered. He aligned himself to what Jesus asked him to do. A simple thing, yet a foolish thing. An irrational thing, an unusual thing. Peter was the only fisherman on the lake that day that went back out and put his nets down. Peter wasn't the only professional fisherman that caught nothing that night. There would have been other professional fishermen who had washed their nets and wasted the night and gone home to their wife with empty hands. Yet Peter did what God asked him to do, which was against the flow of nature. Can we park there for a moment? There are things that God will ask you to do that are against the flow of your nature. Against the flow of natural order that God may ask you to do. It may seem unreasonable, it may seem irrational. But if you can align yourself with that word of God that God has given to you and spoken to you, God's provision will follow it. We said last week, if God proclaims it, he sustains it. If God has proclaimed it, he will sustain it. And here God had proclaimed something to Peter, and Peter aligned himself. And the Bible says the result was this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. The alignment that Peter brought into his world resulted in a net-breaking catch. You know, the harvest comes in our lives from alignments. Whatever that harvest is, it comes from an alignment with the word of God, the plan of God, and the purpose of God. Peter's confession was, I fished all night, I caught nothing. And then boom, a few moments later, after alignment, a net-breaking catch. You know, supernatural provision came because of adjustments that brought Peter into a renewed sense of alignment. Sometimes all it takes is a few little adjustments for us. Sometimes that's all we need. Sometimes the tire on your car needs a few little weights to get the balance restored. Or it needs the mechanic to do his thing and align the wheels and the steering wheel so it all goes in the same direction. Sometimes your body just needs a little click here and a little click there and a little snap there. And it's like when you go see that chiropractor and they put your head on straight, it's a beautiful thing. You know, there are people walking around with their head on crooked and they don't even know it. My head was crooked for years. And the first time I went to the chiropractor, I was so scared when she said, give me your head, just relax, I'm just going to snap this. So, are you kidding me? You know what you're doing? I'm hoping you know what you're doing, because if you don't know what you're doing, this could go real ugly very quickly. And she cradled my head. And I had to trust. So I let myself relax. You know, sometimes you just got to relax. Yeah. Lay back and relax. And put your head literally in the hand of God. And let him do what he needs to do to get things straight. And she grabbed my head. And she went, one, two, just teasing me. Like, you know, the stress levels were going through the roof. Three, when's she going? She's going on three or four. I had no idea. She just kept counting. And then crack! And I heard it. And I felt it. And it felt good. I got up. I stood up. And I was straight. And I was upright. And I was tall. I grew about 6 or 7 inches this week. I started the week out at about 5'1". I ended at 5'11". Which is a good thing. And just maybe for you to stand tall in life and in the areas that you're stooping in. Why don't you stand right now? Can we have our team come to stage? Why don't you stand right now? Show me how tall you are. Show me how tall you can be today. Maybe it's just a little adjustment. Maybe God's not asking you to do big things. It's just little things. Little things. Maybe you're just an adjustment or two away from experiencing all that God really has for you. Greater levels of connection, greater levels of community, greater levels of contribution, greater levels of intimacy with God and his people and his plan and his purpose. Maybe for some today it just begins with saying, I'm planted. I really am. Don't worry, I'm not doing the haka. I'm planted. Planted in the house of God. I'm here for the garden. I'm here to make the garden beautiful. Do you know the garden's better when you're in it? Don't be a pot plant. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be potty. Don't be potty. Be planted in the house of God. Maybe, as Mercy said, it's putting God first in your finances. Maybe it's about time you took that step. Life is all about next steps. If you don't keep taking them, you're stuck. A lot of people get stuck in life simply because they stop moving. They say that about old age. Just keep moving. Keep moving. Don't stop. If you stop, you're going to get stuck. So you're going to keep your body flow moving. Maybe it's just little movements in terms of honoring God with your finances and going from being a tipper to a tither. Someone that understands and acknowledges the financial plan that God has for us, and your commitment becomes, God, I'm not going to tip you with this. I'm going to honor you with the first part, the best part, 10% of everything my land produces, and I'm going to do that as I take my next steps with God. Maybe your next steps are forgiving somebody and just letting it go and singing with Elsa, let it go, let it go. Yeah, maybe some of you need to get that outfit on and do that. And come to church with your Elsa outfit and see that person and let it go. Let it go. Maybe some of you just need to forgive yourself and give yourself a big hug. Why don't you just see yourself doing that right now? Give yourself a big hug. And forgive yourself. You're not perfect. We know you're not perfect. I could preach a series of sermons on your imperfections if you want. But I'd rather just tell you that Jesus loves you. And he believes in you. And he died for you. And it's the little adjustments that are going to help you become the beautiful human being he wants you to be. Maybe you just want adjustment from creating the flow of God in your life that you want and you desire. You can pray all day for it, but it won't come until you get in alignment. Prayer is only empowered by alignment. Alignment empowers everything. Praying for something you don't align for is like hoping for a harvest you won't plant a seed for. You've got to plant the seed of alignment. Maybe you want adjustment from God flipping the script of what's going on in the story of your life. And just maybe the story can have a whole new ending with alignment. Maybe you have worked hard all night and caught nothing. In other words, maybe you're doing everything you can to keep yourself afloat, keep your head above water, keep your family surviving, keep your job, struggle with your health, struggle with your faith. And maybe you're walking with that posture of it's been a long, hard night. And just maybe God's coming to you today and saying, if you surrender that boat to me, I can do amazing things if you'll just come with me out deeper. And here's the call. Come deeper. Come deeper. There's a life out in the deep that you can't imagine. There's provision out there. There's supernatural provision. When we come into alignment and we go into the deepness with God and we abandon the shallow and we pursue the waters that are unfamiliar, and we do what God asks us to do, it empowers the sense of that God is my El Shaddai. He is my Lord who provides. He's my Lord who provides in every circumstance, in every season. Psalm 133, it says, behold how beautiful and how pleasant and how wonderful and amazing it really is when the brothers and the sisters come together in unity. And it finishes with this thought. In that place of unity, agreement, and alignment, the psalmist says, that's the place where God will command his blessing. Just think about that for a moment. You know when God commands something? It doesn't mean he just allows it to happen. It means he makes it happen. He makes it happen. When God commands something, he speaks it. The word of God is so creative, so life-forming, so powerful. We were formed. Everything we have was formed at the word of God, at the commanded blessing of God. There's a commanded favor, there's a commanded blessing, there's a commanded significance that flows from a sense of alignment together. When we come together and we're planted and postured in the house of God, when we're in line with the plan of God, when we're in line with the purpose of God, when we're in line with the people of God, as opposed to not being in alignment. There's nothing worse than being out of alignment. There's nothing worse than wearing down. There's nothing worse than getting dysfunctional and malfunctioning. There's nothing worse than it falling apart for you because you're not in alignment. God calls us today to come deep, try again, come out on the word of God and come into a greater level and commitment of alignment. God's got a life for you and a life for us and a blessing and a provision that's beyond what we know today, that fills the void of all the emptiness that we've experienced because we've navigated it our own way. Because we thought, I'll be right. I'll do it this way. Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll cast down my nets once more. Why don't we take a moment to cast our nets down? Why don't we take a moment to go deeper? Why don't we take a moment to lean into the word of God today? Why don't we take a moment to auto-correct and let God do what only God can do? See, you can only do so much. There's so much that God can do. So much that God can do. So we're going to sing this song, There's Another in the Fire, because this is what happens when you come into alignment. God gets involved. He comes into the script. He comes into the story. He comes into the fire. He holds back the waters. He fights the battle. The weapon may be formed, but he disposes that. Wherever you are at today, whatever you've done enough of, let it down once more. Let it down once more. As we sing this song, we're going to have our service team come and distribute the communion emblems before we partake communion today. Why don't you just take that emblem, hold it in your hand, and we're going to conclude together with communion. Let's sing. Lean into God's heart for a moment.